Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Neil. I'm the senior minister at London Barrow Baptist Church. And if you just discovered us online, you're very welcome. And obviously to all our regular congregation and viewers, a real big welcome to you. Here we are on the second Sunday of the new year and still in lockdown. And many of us are just really struggling with all that this lockdown is meaning to us. I just want to mention one or two things. We're recording now. We're recording on the Sunday morning, and this morning I've got Fox with us, and he's going to edit this service sometime after we finish so we can get it to you by mid-afternoon. I've got Stuart on camera, Martin on audio visuals, Mark on sound, and Roy on door security so we're not disturbed during our recording. And we're just simply doing our best in challenging times. I just want to say a big thank you for Phyllis, and Phyllis has been in the week producing the notices. If you're a regular with us and you're not getting copies, hard copies of what's been said or electronic copies, do email the church and you'll be welcome to receive copies of all the notices that Phyllis has worked so hard with. And you know, it's really good. We've got Anna Smith behind the scenes. Thank you for everybody who's continuing to give to the work. We've still got all our expenditure here at London Road Baptist Church. And Anna Smith, our treasurer, is also working all the time. We've had to furlough some of our staff at present because it's just really impossible to be a community chaplain and not be allowed into the community, and Liz is reducing her hours and so is Jen. So these are just challenging times for us all. But in these challenging times, and God's people have always experienced challenging times, and you will always experience challenging times. And when this challenging time is over, I don't want to be pessimistic, but there will be another challenging time. But in these challenging times, the psalmists encourage us still to praise the Lord. Let me read you Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then the psalmist says these words, I will praise the Lord all my life. He makes that decision, irrespective of the circumstances he finds himself in life, to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations, praise the Lord. You know, we're going to be thinking something of the God of Jacob, the God of Joseph, Jesus' adopted father. We're going to think of this same God who was the Lord and watches over the alien when Joseph and Mary was in Egypt. He sustains the fatherless. We know that Joseph died and Mary was a single parent bringing up Jesus. Such a fitting psalm. And sometimes, you know, in lockdown, worship is hard. But as I said at the beginning, the psalmist says, I will worship the Lord as long as I live. And as living in lockdown level 4 is tough and it can depress us, but nonetheless, God asks us and invites us to worship him when it seems hard, contrary to our own experiences. You know, our opening song says, I will sing. So I invite you, even if you're at home now, even if you sat next to your loved ones at home, maybe just sing under your breath, or if you're confident, sing out in front of your family in the words of this wonderful opening song, Beautiful Saviour. Let's pray together. So Lord, this is a day that we do want to sing songs of gladness to you. Lord, thank you that the song reminds us that in our times of helplessness, you hear our cry. And so Lord, we pray to you now for what appears to be a helpless time for us as a nation, as a community, and as families. But in all of this, Lord, we want to trust in you, our Redeemer. We want to sing of a blood that never fails. We want to, even in lockdown, Lord, thank you that sins are forgiven and consciences are cleansed and that death is defeated and we will live life without end. And so we declare in prayer, beautiful Saviour, wonderful Counsellor, you are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the risen one, and so we worship you. You are heaven's champion, and you reign over all. But Lord, for those areas of our life that you've not reigned in this week, this month, we say sorry. But we acknowledge, Lord, that in good seasons and bad seasons, you reign over all. But ultimately, Lord, you reign over this world that will one day come to an end. And in the end, Lord, you promise everything will be made new. And so in one sense, Lord, this pandemic reminds us that we long to be where praise to you will never end. And we yearn to dwell where glory will never fade, where countless worshippers will share one song and cry together, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. And so we cry this side of heaven, worthy is the Lamb. We wait patiently for the pain of this world to be over. But in the pain of this world, Lord, we say, come, refresh us, encourage us, lift our spirits, renew us, and invite us and prod us and poke us to worship you again. Amen. Well, it's a privilege this morning, and as I said, I've got Mark with us this morning. Mark's one of our key leaders, and he's a trustee and a deacon within the church. And Mark's just going to come and share now. He's going to share something of what it is, life in lockdown, in what he does. He's going to lead us in some prayer and bring our reading, and before I come and share something of God's word with you. So I'm going to respectfully distance myself now from here, and Mark will come up and take over from me.
Morning, everyone. My name's Mark, and I'm part of the leadership here at LRBC. Just quickly, we've all heard the saying, we're all in the same boat. But recently I heard, actually, during this COVID time, we aren't in the same boat. We're all in different boats, and they're all different sizes. I'll come back to that later. So I'm going to take you back pretty much to a year ago. Neil asked people, probably the first Sunday of January, to share some good news. I wouldn't say he picked on me, but he said, Mark, come out here and tell us your news. So I got up on this on this very same stage, looking out at a completely different view to what I have today, looking back with lots of faces coming at me. I just applied for the manager's role at my work. I got the job. I started that on the 2nd of February last year. And then I think it was probably about 7 weeks later, my whole team was furloughed and I was told to work from home, which is interesting in the motor trade to try and sell vehicles working from home. And it was a completely new job to me. So basically, you know, long story short, is that I've had to try and hit the same targets and do the best I can, but with a lot less staff. And the trade and the industry has been absolutely manic and really, really busy. It's been full on, tiring, fairly relentless. And at times I think, well, I wish I could just be furloughed maybe for one day, maybe. And do you know what? I've had to make some seriously tough decisions over the last sort of 10 months or whatever we are now. Decisions that I never thought I'd have to make with regards to redundancies and having to let people go. And I don't think it's quite what I signed up for, but I don't think any of us have had signed up for COVID and then expected it to be like it is and how it is for us now. But with all this, all I say is that I am just so blessed that God put me in this role, so blessed that he's pushed me in this role in so many ways. I'm not sure how I would have got through it without having God in my corner. I've had to learn new things quickly and adapt and take on more things, more than I expected. And at the same time, Jen is at home with our two young children, trying to homeschool, trying to do her job as well. And that just brings up anxiety levels and stress levels. But with God, we've been able to, you know, just keep going as best we can. Doesn't mean it's been easy every time, but we've got through it so far. It's been, like I said, it's been fairly full on. And now as we go into 2021, thinking that the worst is behind us and we hit another lockdown, clearly for the right reasons, because, you know, the rate of this new strain of COVID is spreading and it's scary. I suppose we know more and more people that it's affecting. Just to take you back where I was at the start, just saying that, you know, when we're in different boats, we definitely are. We're all in the same storm. But what I mean is that even though I've had to keep working through all of this, I'm okay. God has protected me. He's kept me safe. But that's definitely not the same for everyone. And I know life is a lot harder and tougher for people out there. Maybe some of you watching right now. And I'm not saying this in a showy off way to say that I'm okay, but more really just to say that how thankful I am and that I thank God daily for everything he's done for me, for keeping me safe, keeping me in a job, and keeping my family safe. And I know that God will pull us through this. Let's just pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we know that you are with us, and that sometimes, especially as we're in this COVID time and another lockdown, that it's hard to see sometimes, but we know that you are there, Lord. We pray for this world, Lord. We pray for all the worldly leaders that have to make really, really tough decisions on what is allowed in each nation. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for Boris Johnson that, you know, that he has to make these tough decisions. And some people say he's done it too late or too early, whatever. You know, he's doing the best that he can, Lord, and it is a tough position to be in right now. We pray more locally for Lowestoft as a community. We pray for everyone in this community that's struggling, you know, what this lockdown has caused with redundancies and probably mental health issues as you're not allowed to see the people that you used to be able to see and move freely around like you used to. We pray that everyone will keep safe, abide to the guidelines that have been put in place, Lord. And we pray for this church, Lord. We pray for LRBC. As you look in your newsletter, you'll see people who specifically need prayer for health situations, Lord. And just take a moment to read those names and pray for these people, Lord. I pray for all of us in leadership, Lord, that have to make decisions that are changing. You know, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, you know, we had people in this church and now we can't. But we know the reasons for that, and we pray that you help us and guide us to make the right decisions, Lord. Pray for Neil as he comes to bring your word later on, how it's changed for him as a minister. How this is really alien to him, but over the last 10 months he's had to stand up here with minimal people in this church, in your church, Lord. We just pray that it's changed again, that he can't have anyone here. We pray that you will bring your word through him, Lord. And as we read in the Bible, Lord, that you have control over everything. You got up and you calmed the storm, Lord, and we just pray that you will find an answer to COVID and you will get the infection rate down, Lord, and we can come back to some form of normality. Amen. Just going to bring the reading for today. We're reading Matthew 2, 13 to 23. So if you have a chance to grab your Bible or open the app on your smart device. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take your child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. And he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what he said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take your child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went to live in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets. He would be called Nazarene. We're now going to watch a video that will explain that scripture a little bit more. Thank you.
When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said. "Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene.
Well, it may seem a strange part to, or a strange beginning to Mark's reading. It says, after they had gone, they being the wise men, this is a situation that Mary and Joseph found themselves in immediately after the wise men had departed, or as the word of God says, the Magi. And so I've called this morning "Back in Lockdown and Post-Christmas Blues." Well, they say that things can't get any worse. Well, they have. We're in lockdown again, as I've come out this morning. There's debate on the news this morning how to tighten even more these lockdown measures. Christmas is over, or did it ever begin? And the truth be known, it deeply depresses me. I've just got to be honest, I really struggle at present, as Mark touched upon, being the minister of this church. I've really had quite enough of trying to be the minister in these difficult situations. I'm simply doing my best, but I too, like many of you, I'm simply struggling to deliver people's expectation. Are you experiencing a bit of a post-Christmas crash, like me? Have you woke up this month depressed? Or was Christmas so disappointing for you this year there was nothing actually to crash from, and the past month has simply been one big crash? We've gone from Santa's ho, ho, ho to life's no, no, no. And I shared with you just before Christmas how rough it was for Mary and Joseph. But this morning I want to explain, not only was the birth of Jesus rough, but it even got worse for them. It even went no, no, no for them after the birth of their son. You know, by the way, I just want to say that I've got lots of friends who say that when I say no, 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 I sound like that Churchill dog on who advertises advertising and insurance on the telly. But putting that aside, Mary and Joseph were joyfully greeted by the shepherds. And then sometime later, a bunch of wise guys, magi, three kings, three wise men, we'll call them whatever you want, they came from the east and they worshipped the Christ child, bringing these expensive gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. But after they left, things went south, literally. While Luke's account has no songs of sadness, Matthew's account in his gospel, in his narrative, is drenched with tears, fears, pain, problems, blood and lament. And the picture is not a pretty one, and it's usually not kept, or it's kept off the cover of our Christmas cards and out of our Christmas carols. This is an awful story this morning. Mary and Joseph had to endure their own post-Christmas lockdown, not in tier four. But after the birth of Jesus, they had to go into lockdown in another country called Egypt. But nonetheless, Mary and Joseph knew what it was like to be isolated from all their family, from all their friends, not being able to go to work, whatever Joseph's job was. Post-Christmas lockdowns aren't new. And Matthew tells us of the very first post-Christmas lockdown. And I'd like to focus on their lockdown experience, and I want to just present you this morning quickly three scenes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 to 23. Please get your Bibles out if you're at home. And these verses normally don't get much attention. And in our first scene, we get this escape to Egypt. It's in verses 13 and 15. It says, after the wise men headed back home, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph while he's dreaming, and he says these things. He says to Joseph, get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child and kill him. Just try and contextualize that as a post-Christmas blue. Your wife just given birth, and an angel speaks to you, not a word of encouragement. Get yourself away. You're in danger. Uses words like escape. Your child's going to be killed. I just want to say on the side, even in this account, see how Joseph is not the real father of Jesus. The angel says, take the child and his mother. Have you ever noticed that? He doesn't say, take your son, but take your child. Note also that the child is listed before the mother, which shows who is most important. In Jewish protocol, the most important person is mentioned first. Even in English protocol, that's why if I send a letter, I put Mr. and Mrs. and not Mrs. and Mr., except for when you write to the Queen. And then it's the Her Royal Highness and the Duke of Edinburgh. Look at our headlines of our papers today. It doesn't say the Duke of Edinburgh and the Queen had their injections for COVID yesterday. Their vaccinations, it says the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh. And that's Matthew early on, just as a little bit of a contextual understanding, showing the importance of individuals. Let's move on. So it says there, so he got up, took the child and his mother during the night straight away and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. And if you know something of your Old Testament, which Matthew did, Matthew is a Jewish writer, Luke was a Gentile writer. You'll recognize, if you're a Jewish person reading this, particularly in the first and second century, the significance of what Matthew is writing. Because on one hand, the significance of Egypt is, on one hand, it represents bondage and worldliness, but on the other, it signifies safety and security. Joseph's namesake, Joseph, the one with the multicolored coat, Jacob's son, had a tough time there before God blessed him and Jacob, his forefather. And they made a very similar story. Let's just remind ourselves there in Genesis 46, verses 3 and 4. It says, "Do not be afraid to go down to Egypt, for I will make you into a great nation there. I will go down to Egypt with you, and I will surely bring you back again." Matthew is rooting this story into the history of the Jewish people. Look at some of the other parallels with Israel's history. The presence of an angry ruler, Pharaoh and Herod. The helpless infant, Jesus and Moses. The slaughter of the children, Pharaoh had done the same in the land of Egypt. And all these things call to mind the events of the beginning of the people of God. The accounts of Jacob and Joseph and of Moses and of Pharaoh and of the Exodus. That's why Matthew tells us these things for the readers of his gospel. Now in scene 2, we get the massacre in Bethlehem. It's a horrible story, and it's rooted in history as well. Verses 16 to 18, Herod is now mad because the wise men had outwitted him. I'm following along as I read. When Herod realized that he'd been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. It's incredible, the ancient world, the slaughter of these children. In 40 BC, the Roman Senate named King Herod King of the Jews. But it was a title that the Jews hated because he was anything but religious. And it explains why he went berserk when he heard that the baby had been born King of the Jews. And this Herod, history tells us, irrespective of the biblical accounts, he held tightly onto the reins of power and he brutally removed anyone who got in his way. Over the years, he killed many people, his brother-in-law, his mother-in-law, two of his sons, and even his wife. Now, maybe you and I would stop after the mother-in-law. I'm joking. But he killed the lot. The great historian, the Roman historian Josephus, called him barbaric. Another one of the early writers of history dubbed him the malevolent maniac. And he ordered the cold-blooded murder of males less than 2 years of age. A horrendous situation. Doesn't really go well on a Christmas card. This was post-Christmas lockdown, 2,000 years ago. And then in scene three, we get this return to Nazareth, verses 19 to 23. Sometimes later, perhaps a year or so, Herod dies, and an angel appears in another dream to Joseph and says these words, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." Lockdown was beginning to end. The end was in sight. The vaccine is in sight. And so he and his young family had been gone from Nazareth a long time. They were refugees, immigrants, and probably longed just to settle down somewhere. Lockdown for this family is ending. And once again he has a dream and then withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. And so was filled what was said through the prophets, "He will be called a Nazarene." Now, we read that 2,000 years later and we see that as a positive thing. But let me tell you that Nathaniel in John's Gospel sums up what Nazareth was really like. John 1, verse 46. "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" This was a cesspit. This was a place that nobody wanted to live in. No one lived in Nazareth except those who could not afford to live anywhere else. Tells you something about this God, doesn't it? That goes with the poorest, the most deprived people in the community. You know, even in his death, the sign on top of the cross, you may not realize there, but was written to mock him. And when Jesus died, there was a sign placed upon his head by the Roman soldiers, and it had the letters I-N-R-I, which were the Latin abbreviation for Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Like saying, "Jesus from Scunthorpe," forgive you if you're from Scunthorpe, "Jesus from Great Yarmouth." Would a king be born in Great Yarmouth? Would a king be born in Lowestoft? Whatever is your cesspit of a place in the UK, that sounds terrible what I'm saying. But this is the irony of the gospel. That this Jesus, who is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came from heaven and lived in the worst place in the community. But now let's look at three ways that this family beat the blues. What three ways did they raise themselves up above the challenges of those post-Christmas blues? How did Mary and Joseph tackle this situation, even in lockdown? First of all, a great thing we learn from this story, that they exhibited instant obedience. Have you ever thought about this? There is no record of Joseph ever saying anything. He is a person in the scriptures who is known by his actions rather than his words. There's an old Zulu saying that says, "Share your faith and if necessary, use words." My mother used to say, actions speak louder than words. In every case, when Joseph is told what to do, he instantly obeys it. We can go back to the time when the angel of the Lord actually told him to take Mary as his wife. He was going to divorce her quietly, But this is what we read in Matthew 1:24. When Joseph walked, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. In scene once he hears the angel tell him to go to Egypt, he didn't even wait until morning. He got up when it was still dark and departed. In scene two, when he's told to go back to Israel immediately, then when he's warned in a dream not to stay in Judea, in scene three, he leads Mary and the son back on the road and they're headed north to Nazareth. And just like us, you know, Joseph had to be prodded from inaction into action. The phrase "and take" in the Greek, it means take your responsibility seriously. You and I are down in lockdown. I'm struggling. I need people to give me a prod. And you need people to give you a prod. We need in a loving way, not in a critical way. We need to encourage and prod when times are difficult. And the word "escape" means to move in haste because we're in danger in the Greek. That's what it means. It means get up now, Joseph, and go. We need to gently prod and encourage one another, not discourage one another, not be critical, but we need to prod on one another and say, you know, we can do this together. We can get through this. Well, let's just go out for a socially distanced walk. We can get on the phone and encourage people. We need to prod each other from inaction into action, and we need to prod ourselves because it's tough in lockdown. And did you notice that Joseph does not ask for more information or request more time? Once the Lord says something, that settles it for this man called Joseph. He doesn't ask questions or make a deal or tell the Lord that he'll obey later on. He doesn't complain about how hard it is to uproot his young family or wonder about travel accommodations. He just gets up and goes. And that's why John 14:15 puts it like this: if you love me, you will obey what I command. And the word of God says that Joseph was a righteous man. He was one right with God. He was one who loved God. I just want to say to you, and I want to say to myself, in what areas is Jesus expecting my instant obedience right now? In what areas is Jesus expecting your obedience right now? Is there a decision you've been putting off? A commitment you need to make? Is there a gift you need to gift? Is there a person you need to forgive? Secondly, what I learned from this story is, even if you're close to God, expect constant opposition. Notice that even godly, obedient people like Mary and Joseph, often when hope is born, hard times are sure to follow. But understanding that Jesus and his family spent their first years as refugees, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, we too will experience opposition and persecution. Properly understood, Christmas should take us out of our comfort zone in this post-Christmas COVID world, because this post-Christmas COVID world is neither our hope nor our home. Just as Joseph endured opposition for the sake of the baby, as those who bear his name Christians, we should expect no less. God didn't remove the difficulties, but he did lead them through them. And this God is leading you right now, if you recognize it or not. And you may not recognize it because at present is carrying you. It's once said, in order to see the babe in Bethlehem, you must pass through Jerusalem and awaken your King Herod. Thirdly, embrace God's operation. King Herod was strong, but he was nothing compared with King Jesus. The world has forgotten about King Herod, but he still worships King Jesus. because Jesus still is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and COVID has not removed him from that role, responsibility, anointing, and we need to acknowledge that. Life is not often like we planned. Blues come, plans change, life happens, but God is a great God, and he is good, and he is in charge. And I see God's providence and care all over this short story. I mentioned this over the Christmas period. And at the same time, God takes care of us and prepares us for what hasn't happened yet. You know, God provided Mary and Joseph with, you know, provisions for the journey, gold, frankincense and myrrh. These were liquid assets, as I explained to you some weeks ago, that they could transport. God fulfilled his promises and prophecy. This gives us a great word of confidence in Scripture and helps us to see that God is true to his word. What he has promised has come to pass, and if not, it will soon. Remember what I shared with you at Christmas? I actually wrote this week. I did it late on my Christmas newsletter. But I wrote this: everything will be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, it's not the end. And for you and I who are born again, Jesus says that in the end, everything will be okay. It's going to be okay. That is the great Christian story. One day there'll be no more crying, there'll be no more pain, because this Jesus says, behold, I'm going to make everything new. And in that, understand that in this story and in your life, God is always present. He never left Joseph and Mary to figure things out alone. In the midst of their problems and of our problems, God is present. God doesn't always tell us everything about the future, does he? Here's a principle that you might find helpful to beat these lockdown blues. If you want to know God's will, then do the will of God you already know. I find it interesting that God did not tell Joseph to go to Nazareth until he'd first obeyed and gone to Judea. Maybe Nazareth, maybe God was being gracious and he's saying, I'm not, you know, if Joseph had been in Egypt and then he finds he's got to go live in Nazareth, I bet he would, maybe it was a step too far. As the old adage goes, God doesn't steer parked cars. If you want God to guide you, then start moving on those things you already know he wants you to do. Start prodding yourself. One commentator says it like this: if you really want to know God's will, you'll know it. And in doing this, you and I can beat those post-Christmas blues, even in tier 4 and maybe even tier 5 by the end of my sermon. Because Mary and Joseph's God is our God too. And their son and child, Jesus, continue to be all our saviours, irrespective of COVID-19. Lockdown will end just like it did for Mary and Joseph. And one day we'll see Jesus for who he is, especially just like Mary did in that upper room when her son returned to life and she could worship him as the saviour of the world with all the other believers. Your destiny, my destiny, is Mary and Joseph's destiny. In the end, it will be okay, even if present we find ourselves in lockdown, just like Mary and Joseph. I hope you got something out of this morning's message. And as I draw to a close, there's a wonderful song here by Keith and Kirsten Getty. I want you to reflect on the words, and it's called When Trials Come. Because believe me, trials are here and trials will come, but God is here with us also. Meditate now on the words of this lovely song, called When Trials Come. Well, he just meditated on that wonderful song, When Trials Come. It's been great being with you this morning. Do get in touch with us through our website. There's a meet and greet as well. We're now running meet and greet at 10 till 10:30. I do apologise for not being with you on meet and greet, but we begin recording now on a Sunday morning at 9:30. It's now 10:30, and that prohibits me being on meet and greet. But it allows you, with the great help of Fox and the rest of the team here, to get this video to you as soon as possible. Hopefully, we'll be live streaming soon. And so I want to say goodbye to you all. If you've been touched by anything I've said and you want some prayer this morning and you're a regular with our church, please contact Bill and Di. If you're a visitor to us, feel free to contact us through our website. And remember, prod gently and encourage and not discourage one another, as together we'll get through this lockdown as community. You know, I found a familiar song with which I think is one of the most profound footnotes. The song is called Blessed Be Your Name. But as you sing and listen to this closing song, I really hope it's transmitted to you as I'm hoping it can be. But I found the footnotes at the bottom of this song, which are real stories of real people who are blessing God through the difficult circumstances of your life. Inspirational. So I'm going to say goodbye to you all. It's been great being with you. See you all next week. And be moved and meditated and draw close to God through the words and the reflections of our final song. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Oh, you give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.